Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Amy Lynn Durham. She's the founder of Create Magic at Work. She's also an executive coach and also the author of Create Magic at Work. Amy Lynn, thank you for being on our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So the word magic is one of those words, it's like chocolate, you know? It's like when you say words like chocolate or magic, it just makes you smile. And for me, it's something that I'm always amazed at. And so for you, you chose to actually include that into your book as well as your business. Why is that?
I just think like it has a very fun and positive ring to it. And my ultimate goal is to bring fun, compassion, heart, and human connection back to the workplace. So I thought it was perfect. And to dig a little deeper to that, you know, it would be the deeper layer for that is that there's a lot of spiritual intelligence that's injected into the book and into a lot of the things that I do. And,
what does that mean? I never want to assume that people know what spiritual intelligence means. So what does that mean?
Thank you for asking me that. I love sharing what it is. So we know what IQ is, right? It's what I think. EQ is talked about a lot in the corporate world. It's what I feel, your emotional intelligence. Well, SQ is sort of being talked about a little bit more now. It's your spiritual intelligence. It's what I am. And spiritual intelligence, you'll find underpins IQ and EQ, because spiritual intelligence is your ability to access higher meanings and values and some unconscious aspects of yourself. And you can embed those meanings to live a bigger purpose, a richer and more creative life.
Yeah, it seems almost obvious, meaning it's like the why, it's the compass, it's the core thing. Whereas with intelligence, what you think or what you feel, frankly, but it's like, well, if what you feel, if you being moved more by emotion, but what is it more about what you're saying, what you are? And for you, when did you even realize that awareness in yourself? Did you have certain jobs that are horrendous? And then you realize, okay, this is not who I am.
I definitely have worked in some cutthroat competitive environments. And what I think was really the turning point for me is as I became more and more in a higher level of leadership, I really found that I was lonely. And if you look at a lot of the data and the research, loneliness in CEOs and in people that hold higher level positions tends to be a little bit higher with those individuals. And so what I started doing, just sort of organically tapping into my intuition, was creating these group team activities with my team and my employees that sort of brought them together. And I saw firsthand how the productivity and the profitability increased by doing these connecting activities. And it tied right back into the SQ, which is going beyond your ego, going beyond your day-to-day concerns, and doing things for the greater good of the team.
That's great. Amy, can you share with us some of these connectivity lessons or practices you did?
I would love to. One thing I'm really excited about right now that we do and that I've done before is I call it journaling with a twist. And you can take a journal prompt card or question or coaching question, and you can pose it to the group and give them about 5 or 10 minutes to jot down their thoughts. I call it rapid writing. So you give them about 5 or 10 minutes to write their thoughts, and then they share it with the group. It's really impactful to set time aside in the workday to do that with your employees or your team. It shows you care, you hear other people's responses, and you connect with them as a human being for what they're going through. And then maybe, you know, a couple of days later, let's say, I'm just making this up, let's say Sally needs help on a project, and, you know, he heard her sharing with the journal exercise. And of course, you know, John reaches out to help her because he understands maybe what she's going through in her personal life or something like that. So.
And what are some of the effects of these exercises? You mentioned that there's a real quantifiable results from this.
Yeah. I always love to point to the research from Harvard Business Review. they put out a research article called The Loneliest People in America. And they equated loneliness to the same health effects as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And that hit home to me because I was doing all of these team build activities and seeing how it was connecting my team. And I was like, this is why they're not burnt out because of their large workload. They're actually burnt out because they were feeling lonely. And it's so really it's
profound.
Yeah, it's so eye-opening that is the reason over maybe a work of a person that has a huge workload, right? Now, I'm not going to say that can cause burnout as well, but the data was really showing that it was because people are feeling isolated and people aren't connecting.
Yeah. And talk to us more about your book. So how do you like lay it out? Like what's like the hopefully the takeaway? Like is it like 3 sections, 10 sections? Like walk us through your book a little bit.
So of course I love my book. I'm biased. But what I did was I laid it out for kind of your everyday leader or executive that is kind of like, I don't really know where to start when it comes to connecting my employees or, you know, I don't really know what activity I can do. So basically what it is it's just full of different activities and very simple step-by-step instructions on what you can do in the workplace to bring people together. And they all have like this underlying tie of SQ, bringing that SQ to the workplace. And really all you need to do as a leader is, let's say you have a copy of my book and you keep it on your desk and you flip through to get a creative idea to kick off a meeting or to lead an activity. The main thing that you need is courage and vulnerability with that, because I think I get asked a lot, do people give you pushback on this? Do leaders really want to spend time on this? And my answer is go straight to the data that shows that connecting people improves profitability and productivity. And then the other piece of that is you have to have courage and be vulnerable as a leader to step forward and say, you know what? The first 10 minutes of our meeting today, this is one of those super simple ones, is each person is going to go around and share a piece of gratitude they have for something in their life for the week. Just taking those moments to do that with your team will pay you back 10 times over.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned those two very specific things, Amy, because courage, frankly, is the one quality that when people ask me, what's the one quality most people need to pursue their dreams? And this isn't dreams by, oh yeah, I have a lot of money. It's like, no, like you need courage to pursue your dreams, whether it's writing a book, whether it's starting a company, whether it's flying to Europe and skydiving or going cross country. The point is, people might think it's intelligence and all these other things, but based on my awareness of life, where I've literally met hundreds of thousands of people, I wrote a book on networking, it is courage. And then vulnerability part, especially as men, when we growing up, I never was told to like share my feelings. I'm like, no, that's weak. Mm-hmm. And then you have these perceptions. And now as a leader and a speaker, I'm like, wow, it's very powerful. And I see it on stage all the time, by the way, Amy. So this is people listening. It's not just Amy saying this, it's me as well, where though I'll talk about books and what I've done, it's not a coincidence that when I'm vulnerable about how I was teased and punished and bullied for being super short, and I was fired from my first full-time job out of lack of motivation, I had people walking up to me literally in tears sometimes saying, you know, my mother told me I was ugly and I'd never get married, or I was teased for having really big ears, or I was really short too, Christopher. But going back to what you're saying, Amy, I wouldn't have known that in terms of the power of vulnerability had I not experienced it myself. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And it really is magic, because unless you're vulnerable and having the courage to do that, you'll never connect. And hence the loneliness. That's the funny thing you mentioned. Like it's so interchangeable, where if you are lonely, it's because you don't have the courage to share your vulnerability. That's the, it's maybe for all the guys out there that have this idea of, oh yeah, I'm tough. You're not tough if you're not understanding that we're human beings. And so, Amy, what's one feeling that someone might have, even though you talk about spirituality and spiritual IQ, but after they read your book, what do you hope that they get out of your book?
I think that most people, when they read the book, they feel inspired and then they feel more creative to bring different team activities that connect to the workplace. So it's not like you have to follow every activity in my book and do them, But I think what it gives you as a foundation, as a jumping off point for you to follow your own intuition with your team. And maybe you take something and you tweak it, or you try something that's connecting in a different way that matches your personality a little bit more. And I just love everything that you just said. I worked with a lot of men because not many women were in higher positions in the workspace that I was in. And it was so beautiful when they finally were vulnerable and connected with each other. And it's very healing for men that have not been given permission per se to do that. And once we do that, the world starts healing.
And you know what's so crazy and profound, Amy? This is so sad too, in that I have a lot of female clients and colleagues. And again, because it's perceived as weak, when a woman shares weakness, then they're like, oh, you're weak, therefore you're not a leader. And that's the irony, right? It's like women who do it, I don't know if it's natural, instinctive, whatever it might be, but it's like they're perceived in a certain way, whereas men were perceived as not to share. But again, from my own experience, no man is truly a whole man or a mature man unless they're willing to be vulnerable, whether they're with their colleagues or the wife or the girlfriend. That's the crazy thing about life, where what we're taught isn't always the right way. And what we need to be taught is what you're sharing. And you definitely do it in a way, because it is such a careful blend of both professionalism and this compassionate vulnerability, where it's a unique mix that it sounds like you have a real keen understanding on. So thank you so much for sharing that, Amy, with our guests. How can our guests stay in touch with you and connect with you?
Yes. If you want to be a magic maker, you can go to my website. It's createmagicatwork.net. And basically you can find all things magic there, our membership club, my book, coaching, all the podcast interviews I do, et cetera. So sending magic to everyone today.
Awesome. Amy, thank you for being our musician today. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christophakai.com to learn more.